say whether they're hammered. Good morning. Good morning. I hope, pray everybody is doing well on a little bit of a cloudy day. But hey, man, bottom line is God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Listen, look around, give somebody a wave and a smile, a real one, a good welcoming smile that says, hey, I'm so glad to be here today, and I'm glad that you're here as well. If you happen to be part of our online viewing audience, please say hello to our one and only Dr. John Cazito, and I will be looking back to see if you did. So keep him busy back there today. We're so thankful for, I call him Dr. J, being able to monitor and be a part of our online audience so that you guys know that you've got contact with Central Baptist Church as well. And we're so glad to have each and every one of you with us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our service today. Father, as we come to you now, we pray and just, Lord, thank you for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, even the blessings that we don't even think about. Lord, the things that we take so for granted, we ask that you forgive us. But we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together today in your name. And Lord, to be the church, not just go to a function, but Lord, to operate and to function as your children. And Lord, I pray that today you will help us to prepare our hearts and minds to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today from your word. Lord, just reach our hearts, still and calm us where we are. And then Lord, help us to hear loudly and clearly what your message for each and every one of us today is. So Lord, we ask that you would bless our time. May it honor and glorify you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to say that this morning we got a text from David that Donald might be having a reaction to a medicine. So it was going to be a last minute decision. And so I'd like to thank Vicky for stepping in at the last minute. She happened to have some music. I really appreciate that prelude. Thank you. If you would, please turn with me to hymn number 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please stand as we sing.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem crowns our music, but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King throughout eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives at death may die. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Thank you, choir. Please turn with me to hymn number 261, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Gentle, freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of the book of Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have that, go ahead and turn there with me this morning. As you find that, just kind of give a little update as to where I was last week, as we had that hurricane kind of blow through and blow across the upper part of Florida, myself and Jimmy McDonald, we actually moved the heavier pieces of equipment for the North Carolina Baptist men. And we're forklift operators, aren't we, Jimmy? We operate forklifts on the disaster sites to get food out of trucks and whatnot. So in that initial going, we were actually activated. We were put on standby and actually were charged with preparing to take a tanker truck, a 45-foot tanker truck full of water down to Florida. Now, because we have the feeding units and those other things, you actually have to take water. You have to take potable water to be able to use down there. So we were on standby for that, and then we got stood down. And then it was, well, we need this piece of equipment. So essentially what happened was I wound up running equipment across North Carolina to staging areas to go down to Florida. I never actually saw Florida, which I'm okay with, but we were support for those pieces of equipment that needed to get down there. Because when I took the tanker back, they're like, well, we need recovery one over here. So I got that and handed it off to another guy in North Carolina, and then the shower unit. So I was just all over the place in North Carolina. But I'm so grateful to have that opportunity to be able to serve, and appreciative of my brother Barry, who filled in last week. So hopefully the hurricanes will stay away and we won't have to go down there too far. But do keep it in your prayers. One of our main drivers, actually had somebody pull out in front of him when he had one of our larger kitchens like Manna One, and so there was an accident. Everybody was okay, but I believe it totaled the tractor trailer truck. The feeding unit number two is still okay. The people that pulled out in front of our driver was okay. That all happened in North Carolina, by the way. It wasn't down in Florida. That happened in the lovely state of North Carolina and all the glorious drivers that are contained therein. So anyway, moving right along, this past weekend I had the opportunity to be a part of the starting of a marriage, a young couple who took their vows yesterday, and taking the time. I mean, I always do premarital counseling with those that are preparing to be married, and I've always used that terminology. I said it seems like people spend more time preparing to get their driver's license than they do to spend the rest of their life with somebody. To try to head off some of those things, we take these opportunities and we meet together as a couple. The goal is for like 13 weeks prior to there, and some people are going, 13 weeks? That's the reason I don't do a whole lot of weddings outside of our very own, is because 13 weeks is a long time, and some people aren't even willing to commit 13 weeks for a lifetime. But this couple did, and as I was making preparations for that, I was thinking about some of the verses that we use during a marriage ceremony and how they go. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about marriage, but I don't want to talk to you about the institution of marriage in the case of the United States today, which seems to be moving in the wrong direction and moving in a dishonorable, non-God-honoring direction at every turn in our country today. It's not necessarily that I want to speak to today, but this morning I want to talk to you about Christ's love for His bride. And who is Christ's bride? The church. Okay, so a lot of us, we know the answer to that question, don't we? When I said that, a lot of y'all are like, oh, I know what you're talking about. The church, that's Christ's bride. So I want you to think about those things today as we talk about the scriptures that are related to marriage as we use them in ceremonies today. But I also want them to think about us and our relationship as the church to Christ. And you'll understand where I'm going with this in just a minute, but I want to speak about Christ's devotion. I want to speak about His sacrifice for what it is, for Him, this unrivaled passion that Christ has for the church. And when we think about that, we can see how that fits within the modern scheme of marriage between a husband and a wife. I guess if I would consider myself a litigator today, I would want to argue that if the church means this much to Jesus, then it ought to mean that much to you and me. Have you ever thought about it in that regard? When we think about church, how do we think about it? I mean, when we're talking about how Christ loved the church, we've all heard this passage. If you've been to any wedding before, you've probably heard this, where you know, it says, husbands, love your wives in the same manner in which Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? Yeah, maybe you've heard it preached somewhere before, but I want you to hold that. I want you to hold on to that thought as we, you know, take a look at our scripture. Now, I will eventually get to the scripture, but I got to lay it out for you here as to what we're talking about. So, again, if I'm a litigator and I want to argue that if the church means so much to Christ, then it ought to mean that much to you and I. In fact, I want to pick up on an analogy that Paul uses of Christ's love for the church, and I want to ask you this morning a very, very important question. This is the question I want to ask you. I think it's relevant today. I think after coming through all of the time that we spent away from church with COVID and everything else, here's the relevant question that I want each and every one of us to ask today and listen to the Holy Spirit for the answer to this question. And here's the question. Are you married or just dating the church? Now, some of you understand what I'm talking about when I say that. Yeah, when we consider the church, there's a difference between those two things. Most of us know that. Yeah, dating is kind of like that trial period. Yeah, that time when commitments are soft, you know, when relationships are tentative, and what's essentially happened is you're keeping your options open. So you know what I'm talking about. You know when a couple's dating. You've probably used this before if you've had children growing up, maybe at a time when they were dating and something came up. Maybe you have said, well, you guys aren't married yet. How many of y'all have ever said that? You know, something came up and you're like, whoa, hang on a minute. You guys aren't married. Yeah. In other words, that means that your opinion not only matters, you can make that opinion because you're not married to that person. Yeah, there's no connection there, as it were. Now, again, you dating kind of keeps the options open. Remember the question that I asked. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. But see, the difference is that marriage is a covenant relationship. I've heard people say before, marriage is a contract. And I always say this. I say, I disagree. A contract is between two people. A covenant is between more. See, a contract, if you say it's a marriage contract, it's between he and she. If you say it's a marriage covenant, it is between he and she and God. Now, most of us know you can't have a marriage with God not being in it and have it last and have it be productive and have it be what it ought to be. Amen? It can't happen. And that's what I tell these younger couples all the time. I'm like, look, man, if you're not in this for the long haul, in fact, I actually told them, I got to be careful how I say this in today's day and age, but I told them, I said, look, if you guys ever decide you're going to call it quits in your marriage, the first thing before you do that, I want you to call me and I want us to sit down. I said, I'm not going to try to talk you into anything. I'm not going to try to talk you out of anything. And they look at me kind of funny and they say, well, then why do you want to meet with us? I said, because I'm going to decide which one of you I'm going to kill because death's going to do one of you part. That's how it goes, until death do you part. So, you know, like I said, now you understand why I got to be careful how I say that in today's day and age. You know, somebody will use that against me in a court of law. If somebody goes missing, they're going to be knocking on my door. But nonetheless, marriage is a covenant relationship. It's devotion. It is sacrifice. It is joy. And in marriage, when it comes down to marriage, you've burned your ships. I like to say it like this, I've caught my limit. You fishermen will understand what I'm talking about. I've caught my limit. Yeah, that's all I need. You know, when it's marriage, there's no turning back. And you only have eyes for the one in whom you have pledged yourself. Now, do you see the parallel that we're trying to draw this morning? And again, I am going to get to the scriptures. I'm trying to lay it out so it makes more sense for you when we get to this particular part. Okay? Yeah, and the reason I say that is because sometimes we go on autopilot. Sometimes we hear things so much that we're like, oh, okay, I got that. And you miss some really good, deep, cool meaning that goes along with it. Okay? So I ask you the question once again. Are you married to the church? That means fully devoted, making sacrificial investments of time and money and energy and effort and talent. So are you married to the church, or are you just dating the church? Nominally involved, partially interested, you know, maintaining, go ahead and hit the door with no lingering obligations. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Are you understanding the difference between the two? Now, why do I say that? Because we have moved into an age in the church where, in a lot of cases, membership doesn't matter. That's the way people, I don't care if you're a member or not. Yeah. Do I have to have a card and show it at the door when I come in? No. But you know what it means? It means something to the Lord. It means something to the church when you are when you dedicate yourself to it. You see, what we've got is we've got a revolving door in church nowadays where people just come, land, leave. There's no involvement. There's no real discipleship that's taking place. There's nothing that's really going on. There's no involvement whatsoever. We've got a generation today that says, I'll come and I'll give you an hour on Sunday morning, but don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to be committed to anything. Don't ask me to teach a class, because Lord knows, out of 52 weeks, I might want to go somewhere 50 of them. I might want to play golf. I might want to do this. And see, the bottom line is, we just don't want to get involved. The way this happens in the church a lot, now some of y'all might think I'm picking on you, but I was not. I didn't do the nominating committee work. But and I've said this before, you know, I get it. We like to sound spiritual and we like to be spiritual. But sometimes when you're approached to do something in the church, oftentimes what you'll hear is, well, let me pray about that. Okay? Let me make something clear to you. It does not take 2 months for God to answer that prayer. And let me tell you something else. Sometimes you don't have to pray about it. If I was gone somewhere, let's just say I would have gone to Florida last week and down there, and somebody in the midst of that thing said, hey, look, I know you're a pastor. Everybody calls you Pastor Roy. You know, we've got this crew here, and would you preach for us Sunday? Do you think I'd have to say, let me pray about that? I'm posing that as a question. Do you think for 1 second I would have to pray about whether or not I would speak to a congregation of disaster relief workers on a Sunday morning when I could not be here with my home church? Do you think for 1 second that I would have to go pray about that? Thank you. Some of you know me well then, because you're absolutely right. I wouldn't have even had to, yeah, absolutely. What time are we kicking this thing off? Let's get her going. Hey, have we got any musicians in the crowd? Have we got somebody that can lead some music? I can't do that, but I'm going to preach for you. See, some things we just don't have to pray about. Why? Because God has already solidified it in our strengths and our talents and our abilities, and says, if I give you an opportunity to use them, use them. That's easy. Some things we just don't have to pray about. So are you married to the church, or are you just dating it? Are you trying to keep yourself detached? Listen, there's a lot of times that people like to go to larger churches so they can intentionally stay detached, so they can intentionally disappear into the fabric so that nobody sees them and nobody knows who they are. It's just some people's personalities. How will you answer that question? Because how you answer that question determines whether or not there are certain things that you have nailed down about the spiritual walk. And I want to remind you once again, I haven't forgotten the scriptures. I'm getting there. Did a little inversion here today. But this how you answer that question determines whether you've nailed some critical things down concerning the spiritual walk. Things like main truths. Number one, what is it that the Lord, He's God, plain and simple. There's none other like Him. There are no other gods, and He shall have no other gods before Him. He is God. A second thing is that the Bible is truly the Word of God. Every jot and tittle, as the old preachers used to say, is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. It is infallible. It is without mistake. And why do I say that? Because some of you in here in this room today said, well, yeah, that's a given. No, it's not. I cannot tell you how many people that I discuss religion with, and my first question is always simply this: do you truly believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God? That is breathed full of life. In the beginning was God, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. Do you believe that? Well, you know, the Bible's full of symbolism. What does that tell you when somebody says that? They don't believe it. Or what happens is they believe parts of it. They believe the convenient parts of it. I like this part, so I'll believe it. But I don't like this part. And the reason I don't like this part is because it addresses the sin that I am committing. So if I just look the other way, it will go away. Nope, doesn't work that way. You're either all in or you're all out. You either believe it is or you don't. And here's the reason I say that. Because what's going to happen if somebody's answer is, no, that's not what I believe. I don't believe that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. You're not going to win any discussion with them. Because my proof goes back to this. Your proof should go back to this. But if people don't believe this, then it can be bent and twisted. And Satan's good at that, isn't he? And that is happening right this very hour across churches, across this world, where things are being bent and compromised to suit people. Let me tell you something. The gospel, the word tells us, the gospel is offensive. And yet we live in a society that says, don't offend anybody. Preacher, if you preach that, somebody's going to get offended and not come back. Sorry. It's not my job to please people. It's my job to preach the word. And if you don't like it, look, don't crucify the messenger. This is what you have the problem with. So do we have those things nailed down? That the Lord is God. That the Bible is truly His inerrant word. And then how about this one? That I am a sinner who needs a Savior. I have met tons more perfect people in the last few years than I've met my whole life that never do anything wrong. They're not sinners. They don't need a Savior. Have y'all noticed that? People have just become more and more perfect these days. They don't do anything wrong whatsoever. They're legends in their own mind. And I hope you picked up on that part. In their own mind. Because the Word tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, if you don't realize that you're a sinner, then you'll never realize the need for a Savior. And if you never realize the need for a Savior, you will never trust Jesus. And if you never trust Jesus, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. Yes, I said that word because it is a place, and the Bible talks about it. Oh, well, preacher, you're going to offend some people. They're not going to come back. They're not going to tune in anymore. Well, that's up to them and God. But that's what this is. That's the truth. Is that one of the truths that you've nailed down? How about that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be that Savior that we need? The perfect, lived some 33 years on this earth perfect, carried every sin to Calvary's cross, and resurrected that you and I may have eternal life. And salvation is a gift that you receive, not a paycheck that you earn. Let me repeat that. Salvation is a gift that you receive, not a paycheck that you earn. Because for some odd reason, we try to earn our way to heaven, don't we? Well, I know I hurt my Lord, so from here on out, I'm never ever going to miss church again. Even when I drive by, I'm not even going to pass the church. I'm going to pull into the parking lot and I'm going to say a prayer. Well, that's all good, but you shouldn't do that because you feel like you're gaining brownie points with God. Because you're not. And you know what He says? You don't have to. I'm doing this because I love you and because I love you freely. I love you unconditionally. That's a great word, isn't it? Unconditionally. Not just when the times are good. Not just when you're doing what you should be doing. He says, I love you all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even with all your imperfections. Now, I'd rather you be doing better, but I'd rather you be doing better not because you feel like you're going to earn favor with me. We've all tried that when we were young and growing up. You know, we'd try to butter up mom and dad for something. And it was so obvious that they're like, wonder what they want. And they may even ask you, okay, that's cool, man. You cleaned up the house, you took out the garbage, you washed and waxed the car. What do you want? They knew there's a hook in that piece of bait along the way. So today's truth that you need to nail down in your life is a personal commitment, first of all, to our Lord and Savior, but also to your local church. It matters. I'm telling you, it matters. Maybe that sounds a little self-serving, you know, of me, and you're sitting there going, well, what's the pastor going to say? Obviously, you know, that's where his paycheck comes from. That's what he does. No, it doesn't have anything to do with that particular part of it. You know, I mean, yeah, as a pastor, we're gathered here together at church now, and I'm saying that it's vital to have a strong and growing relationship with the people of God, where you can encourage one another in Christ, and where you can pray for one another, and you can bear one another's burdens, and you can intervene when you see a brother or a sister lapsing into some sort of sinful pattern along the way. Is it selfish of me to urge you to belong and to be personally invested in the local church for your own sake? Not because I want something, not because we want something, but for your own sake. Is it worth investing your life into? We invest in a lot of silly things, don't we? I can remember back, you know, when I was younger, do they even have movie rental stores anymore? No. Okay. Remember when they had them, like Blockbuster? Man, you had to have that card. Had to be a member. Well, what if I walked into Blockbuster and I said, I want to rent this movie. I don't want to buy it. I just want to rent it. A couple dollars. And they'd say, well, great, let me see your membership card. Well, I don't have one. Well, you need to have a membership card to be able to rent this. Well, what if I don't? Well, I can't rent you the movie. Well, you're just a bunch of selfish people. Why can't you rent me the movie? Well, how do I know how to get a hold of you when you don't bring it back? How do I know? This is dating me here a little bit. How do I know who to charge when you don't rewind it? Y'all remember, how many of y'all remember that? Charge you extra dollar if you didn't rewind that bad boy. But you gotta be a member. And then here's the interesting part. We will thrive on stuff like that. Because what that means is, that means that there are some people that are left out. And then you sit back and say, oh, well, I tell you what, I'm never coming back to this place again. They're like, all you gotta do is fill out the form. And we'll give you a member. I'm not doing that, because if I do that, that means I am committed to buy movies here. That means I have to take care of the movies. That means I have to rewind them. As goofy as that sounds, that is the way people are when it comes down to church. Why don't you want to be a member of the church and support it? Because listen, it's more about what you can get out of it. But yet we have this idea, what can it do for me? You know, what can it do for me? It can do a lot of things for you. There is something special about a body of believers coming together. Some of you know in depth what it's like when you've been through some of the darkest valleys of your life, to know that there is somebody in the darkness that's holding your hand. That's a brother or a sister. And they're there not because they have to be, but because they want to be. They're there to help carry you in the tough times of life. They're there to pray for you. They're there to intervene on your behalf. They're also there to tell you when you're getting a little goofy. How many of y'all have ever had a good church, a Christian brother or sister tell you when you've gotten a little goofy before? Boy, we ain't doing our job then, are we? I know, some of y'all are sitting back going, I've never been goofy a day in my life. Well, it's time to repent. We all got this idea. Listen, yeah, you are part of the family. If your family member was going down a wrong road, your brother or your sister, hint, hint, would you not try to intervene? Would you not try to go and say, grab them by the ear, big sister to little brother, and say, get over here for a minute. I'm going to talk to you for a second. What are you doing? What's the matter with you? See, we always do better when we know somebody's watching, don't we? And we voluntarily come together as a body of believers, because here is the thing. It's not just something that we say. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I care about you as my family. I want to see God's very best for you. But some of us have had people in the family before who've decided they didn't want to be part of the family anymore. They walked out. They hit the door. Think of the prodigal son. All the while the prodigal son was gone, the dad was looking for him. Now, that didn't mean that the other brother was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to go on with life like it is. Matter of fact, remember, he got mad when his little brother came back. Ooh, that's another sermon for another day, but what brother do you find yourself portraying today? Maybe the one that left? Maybe the one that didn't really care, the other brother didn't care whether the other brother was gone or not, got mad when he came home. Well, what does that look like in the church? I cannot believe after what they've been through that they just walked into this church building. Everybody knows what's going on with them. Everybody knows what's taking place in their life. Now, see, folks, the church should be a community where messed up people are welcome, where outcast people are loved, where the underdog finds a champion, where the hopeless find hope, and where the friendless find a friend. Does that describe Central Baptist Church? If it doesn't, what part are we playing in either that being our description or that not being our description? It's selfish for me to urge you to belong and to be personally invested in the local church if it wasn't something in it for you, because there is something in it for you. It's valuable. It's important. There's a lot of people who think so. But I want to tell you this. I want to give you some numbers today. Statistically, 1 out of 4 church attendees are considered church shoppers. 1 out of 4. I'm not great with math, but I can handle that one. 1 out of 4. What is that in percentage-wise? 25% of church attenders are considered church shoppers. You know what that means? Boop, 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 boop. They never connect in. They're out there shopping with no real devotion to any particular local church. An estimated 15 to 20 million Americans have said they are Christians, but don't want to be a part of the church. Did you get that? 15 to 20 million Americans. Around 80% of American evangelistical churches are either plateaued or declining. 80%. Those are modern statistics. When asked, people give the standard answer. Are you ready for this? Here's the answer as to why. Because church is irrelevant, boring, hypocritical, and after my money. That is the answer that is given. Now, some folks have been hurt by the church. Some folks have been hurt deeply by the church as well. Maybe you're in that number. But there's like a wall that kind of rises when you come to a place like this, you know, a kind of automatic attitude that keeps anything that might be said or done or experienced here this morning at arm's length. You know, I'm keeping it at a distance. If that's you, let me challenge you to an alternative conclusion based on evidence from Scripture, okay? So now I've got it laid out. We're going to go to the Scripture. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, and I want us to look at some passages, and I'm going to hit two things, and then I'm going to let you go today, hopefully with it staying on your mind, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. Remember what I said? Most of us have heard these verses. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Remember what I said? There's an analogy going on here. At real weddings, yeah, you've probably heard the preacher say these things before, but it's admonishing husbands to love their wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, knowing a little bit more about what we're talking about here and how Christ loves the church, that's a pretty deep statement, isn't it? Husbands, that's how you're supposed to love your wives. You're supposed to be dedicated to them. You're not supposed to be looking around. Guys, you've caught your limit. You're supposed to be dedicated to her. You're supposed to love her. You're supposed to cherish her. You're supposed to protect her. You're supposed to care for her. The same thing that Christ does for his church. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, does that make you attend and think differently about being a member of the church? When you realize how Christ loved it, how Christ gave himself for it, how he deeply cares for the church. And is the church the building? If the church is not the building, the church is what? Her people. That means you and me. We should be connected and love the church in the manner in which Christ loves the church. And if we get serious about it, we sit back and say, I don't really think it's possible for me to even do that. Well, you know what? It doesn't hurt to try to attain it, does it? I wish I could remember the quote I saw that Jim saw, you know, this past week, talking about striving for perfection. And it said something about, you know, when we, you know, nobody's perfect, right? That's true. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for perfection, because on the way in to striving for perfection, what we do is we come up with excellence. Did you think about it that way? Does church mean the same thing to you as it does to Christ? Do you love the church, and are you involved in the church in the same manner in which Christ loves it and in which Christ is involved in her? Now, I don't want to sound like I'm getting on you today. I don't want you to sit back and go, he goes out of town and then comes back and jumps all over us. No, I'm not. But the question is, what's the Holy Spirit telling you? You know, I look out here and I see some wonderful people who have put it on the line in so many ways. And I want to tell you this much. If I have a hangnail in my life, I want you all praying for me. I know some people are private, and that's okay. You know, they're like, I'll tell you one thing, you know, I got cancer in my knee and it's rotting out. They're going to take it off tomorrow. But don't tell nobody. Honey, I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. I'm like, listen, I want y'all to pray that when I go in there to have my knee cut out, that it don't have to be because God has done a miracle. And let me tell you something, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my family. I've seen it where my son was supposed to have a major surgery umpteen years ago, and all of a sudden a tumor in his leg the size of a softball started shrinking away and shrunk down to it was completely nothing. And he's perfectly fine to this day. And the doctors didn't do squat. The Lord did everything. I'll attest to that. So let me tell you something. I want you praying for me. If you love me, pray for me as your pastor. If you hate me, pray for me as your pastor. You know why? I like what a guy said one time. He went to him and he said, preacher, he said, I want you to tell us how we could get rid of our preacher. And he said, well, I'll tell you what you can do. He said, you start praying for him multiple times a day. And he says, in fact, when he's preaching and he gets a point that's been made from the scripture that's on target, you shout amen. He said, because one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to preach himself into a heart attack or the largest church in town is going to want to take him away from you. We need each other, y'all. This is a hard, hard journey. But we also need to be trusting each other. We need to be able to be trusted. We need to be able to share something near and dear to our heart without it being all over the town before the sun goes down. We need to be able to be those people who diligently, because we love one another and we pray for one another. Let me tell you something. The potential of Central Baptist Church alone is untapped. When we get to that particular point, you're going to see God do some incredible things. You see, in this passage that we read, there are two word pictures that make sense to us. Two analogies that are obvious in this passage when we read them. We can see and we can feel what they mean. Both bring them home to us as to the importance of being personally committed to a gathering such as this. People all the time say, well, I don't have to be in church to go to heaven. No, you don't. But I'll tell you one thing. You're going to go with a whole lot more knowledge. Why would you not want to be? I mean, I've used this analogy so many times because it hit home for me when I was little. But you remember, and I want to say it was on Sundays. I never got to watch Disney because we always was on the way to church on Sunday night. But I'll tell you, one of the things that would come on, and some of y'all are going to remember this because we didn't have 9,000 TV channels. We had two or three depending on where you live. Ernie and I were talking about that this morning. How many of y'all remember Wild Kingdom? Marlon Perkins, that 90-year-old dude riding around in a Jeep out there with lions and tigers and bears and all that kind of stuff. Y'all remember that, right? Oh, Marlon, I still remember watching one day old Marlon was talking about the predators that were coming in. And he was talking about it, and he said, I want you to notice something. He said, these particular animals over here, they're pack animals, and they work in packs. But there's always that one. That one that don't pay attention, that don't follow the rules, you don't hang out with the pack, and he's over there somewhere. Y'all following me? Which one did the predator go after? The one. You know why he went after the one? Because he was an easy target. He was away from the pack. He was away from the herd. He was away from the protection of the rest of the herd. They ran that sucker down and chewed it in half in no time flat. I remember that from the time that I was a little kid. There's safety in numbers. And when you have to go out in a world like we have to live in today, you need the people of God. You need the meetings of God. You need to be coming together. And we need to be loving the church in the manner in which Christ loved it and gave himself for it. Membership matters. Not just so you can have a little card. How are you accountable to the Lord? How are you accountable to the body? Whether you got a little card or not, you are if you're a believer. The church is the bride of Christ. I got points, but I hadn't got to them yet. So, but the whole context of this passage is about marriage. Yeah, has a model of Christ's passion for his bride. That's what this is all about. And who is his bride? The church. He has a passion for her. Do you and I have a passion for her in the same manner in which Christ does? That's the foundation. The point is powerful. Jesus wholeheartedly, unconditionally loves his church. You know, there's a moment in every wedding when the bride walks down the aisle. I thought about this yesterday. You know what? We do all these things, and I walked in with the groom and the best man, and we're standing down front, and then you know all the pretty ladies walk in, and all the guys walk in, and the wedding party lines all up. But then there is the moment. The moment when all of a sudden the music swells and the music rises. And I get to say, would you stand with me in honor of the bride? Because the bride is making an entrance into the room. And she comes in, usually with her daddy, walking her down the aisle. And it's always interesting to kind of shoot a glimpse over at the groom to see the groom see the bride. And usually they're grinning like a mule eating briars because they know that bride is on the way to the altar to vow their love and their lifetime to that person forever. Is the relationship between Christ and the bride and weddings that we see today becoming a little bit more clear than maybe it used to? Everyone gets to their feet. The music soars up. All of a sudden, the bride is coming in. Almost seems that she floats down the aisle. Well, what a cool experience. I had that yesterday. I thought about these things as I sat with this young couple. And as I thought, you have no idea what you're getting into. And I told them, along with their family, said, this is going to be the toughest thing that you will ever do. And all God's married people said, it's the toughest thing that you will ever do. Well, guess what? Christ loves the church in the manner. Remember his bride? Marriage, church is a tough thing, isn't it? It's not designed to be easy. It's tough. If you think about that look on that groom's face, then you have a small understanding of the intensity of Christ's love for his church. It resonates through this particular passage. It was a writer that said, I think it was John Stott, a writer said, you know, what stands out here, writes John Stott, is the sacrificial steadfastness of the heavenly bridegroom's covenant love for his bride. What makes this passage even more striking is that I'm a part of it. And so are you. Isn't that cool? Oh, man. The church in the Bible is made up of those who have been called out by the Spirit of Christ to salvation. The church is God's people. It's you, it's me, it's every believer in every place around this world at any given time. Those who've put their trust in Christ. Yeah, the truth is that when you read that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, you might well be reading that as Jesus loves me like that. That gets deep all of a sudden, doesn't it? That's no longer just something superficial. It becomes intently personal. It becomes, you know, intimate when we think about it in that manner. And it strikes me, you know, that when I see the Greek word for love that Paul uses here, the way it describes it, it is the word agape, which refers to an absolute, unself-centered, sacrificial Christ for me. Wow. Then I read that he gave himself for his bride. He gave himself up on Calvary's cross. Not that he had to. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have stopped that in a heartbeat. But he knew that he would not have, you and I wouldn't have a way of salvation. We would be doomed to eternal death and damnation and hell had it not been for him going to the cross for each and every one of us. His holy love for the church moved him with a purpose to make her holy, to cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Forgiveness, justification. Think about those things. We'll give you one other point and then I'm going to shut her down. The church is the body of Christ. Y'all know that. But so many times we let these things supervene. Verse 25, the church is the wife of Jesus Christ. But in verse 30, the church is called the body of Christ. We are his members. Paul changes that imagery. Ephesians 1:22 expands on a picture that's painted when it explains by telling us that God the Father has put everything under his feet and appointed him as the head over everything for his church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. There are so many things that we could say here. But now, let me share this with you in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, calls us to a different value system when it comes to the church. It says, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Did you pick up the things in that? That was written for the church of the past and the church of today. Isn't it? Notice what, let me go back and slow down. And let us be concerned about one another. Are we concerned? In order to promote love and good works. Is our love for each other promoting love and good works? Not staying away from our meetings. The government saying, you guys can't get together. And us saying, oh, yes, we can. Yeah, we can. You don't get to mess with us. But see, here's the problem. The problem is a lot of people took that as an excuse to never come back. There are some people who left the church during COVID who've never donned her doorstep since and probably don't plan on it. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about the church. You see what I'm saying? But it's like, oh, I had an excuse. COVID. Well, that's gone. I mean, let me back up. It's not gone. It's going to be here forever. We're just going to have to deal with it. We got some people in our church now that have COVID. It's a real deal. It is a dangerous thing. But it's not going away. Don't let it drive you away from the Lord. Do what you're supposed to. Look, don't show up with it. We'll pray for you. But prayers don't know boundaries. We don't want you passing it around, but bro, we'll pray for you. But dude, we expect to see you back when it's over. Of course, your family. Any of y'all ever had that grandma that used to gripe at you because you didn't go to the family reunion? One. I got you, Kirk. Kirk, where were you? The family reunion's this past weekend. Your Aunt Harriet was really looking forward to seeing you. Your Uncle Bob is 163. He don't have many more days. You should have been there to see him. Y'all, find the joy in it. I used to enjoy the family reunions when we go up to that old home place because my grandmother, when she was alive, used to love to take me around and tell me the old stories. This is where we kept the milk in the spring to keep it cool. This is where I took my mama's diamond ring one day and wrote my name in the window. It's scratched in the window and it's still there. She said, I got in trouble big time for that. But walking through that memory lane, as family. Good times. We've walked through some pretty good times around here, hadn't we? We've also walked through some pretty dark valleys together as well. But we did it together. And love for one another. Not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Listen, we need, something that's missing in our society today is that we don't encourage like we should. We're real good at criticizing. We're real good at cutting down. But we need to be encouraged. We need to be building up the body of Christ, don't we? You know, some of the coolest things I've seen before in my life, and I've seen it around here, particularly a lot of our teachers who have a gift with children. I have watched Judy encourage a little child and watch their whole countenance change. Just a kind word, a loving word, and watched everything about them change. I've watched that with our folks that work with the kids in Awana to sit back and say, you can do this. Come on, I got faith in you. You can do it. And you walk with them through the circumstances and the situations. See, we need to be doing that not just with our kids. We need to be doing that with each other. We need to be building people up. Everybody can criticize. In fact, we've got that down to a science in 2023, don't we? But what about being one to edify, one to build up for the kingdom? I can tell you, I've watched people come in and just the simple little things in this church when somebody will go and say, hey, I was just thinking about one recently that there was a young lady that would used to go up to JC and she'd always say, how you doing this morning, handsome? He loved that. He always had that smile on his face. He was an encourager as well. Look, don't lie about it, but we can find things to edify and to lift up and to build people up with. We don't need the criticism. For this church to be all God wants it to be, each member needs to be working properly, needs to be connected, needs to be participating, sharing the burdens and the joys together. Most of you here today are living examples of this message, and I cannot thank you enough for your example, for your partnership, for your stewardship of life for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the kingdom. But I also want to urge you who are on the margins, who are just going through the motions, who are acting out of habit rather than commitment. I want to share a quote with you from Brian Habig and Les Newsom, who authored a book together called The Enduring Community. He writes this. It says, the church is body, and I am either a productive member of that organism or I am actively contributing to its dismemberment. Did you get that? One more time. The church is a body, and I am either a productive member of that organism or I am actively contributing to its dismemberment. Which one are you today? Have you got the basics down? You know what? I have always, always loved church. Yeah, I hadn't always. I mean, yeah, there's been some days when I hadn't really wanted to, I hadn't really wanted to go. We've all had those. You know, that time when Jana's like, get up, we got to get ready. I'm like, I'm not getting up. I'm not going. She's like, you got to get up. You're the preacher. There are days like that. We all have them. But I'll tell you what changed my life, and I've said it many, many times. I want to show you something because I actually think I happen to have it. As I do, I'm going to ask Brad and the musicians if they would just come on down, take their places as we prepare for our invitation. One of the things that I had said here before, and I've expressed it to you guys, that made all the difference in the world for me growing up was that I actually became not only a member of my church. I didn't just sit around. I didn't just wait on it. But I was actively involved in my church. Because the candy man, how many of y'all remember the candy man? Jack Givens decided that it wasn't good that I just sat around, that I needed to be a participating part. That's the candy man. That's Jack. He's in heaven now. But Jack, as a little kid, I looked forward to seeing him, not just because of the candy. You know why else I enjoyed seeing him? Because he controlled the ushers, and he controlled the short aisle that I wanted to be a part of. That guy right there is part of why I am here today. Just because of a short aisle, taking up the offering in my church. These little kids need our influence in a positive way. That they might say, come on, man, hurry up. We got to get to church. If I don't, Randy's going to give the short aisle to somebody else. I'm not going to, hurry up, come on. What is the church to you? The church is the bride of Christ. Husbands, love your wives in the manner in which Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. See, that whole marriage relationship that we're more familiar with is based on Christ's relationship to the church. Would he be pleased with the statistics of today's society? No. Even among Christians, divorce is still at or above 50%. 50%. Half of all marriages don't make it. I've tried to beat that into that couple's head, and I told them, I'm still going to beat it into your head. You need to love her in the same way Christ loved the church. And I know you understand how Christ loved the church because you're one of his children. And I said, all of us need to understand we're a body. Are we helping to build the kingdom? Or are we helping to dismember it? First question, do you know Jesus? That is the ultimate question. Have you trusted him? Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul. Have you done that? Have you followed him in believer's baptism since you've trusted him? That's his first command to it. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Have you followed him in that? We got a baptistry. Are you playing on the fringes when it comes down to being a part of the church? You know, a lot of churches today don't even have membership. Oh, we don't worry about that. I think it's still important because it's this picture. It's this picture. Are you actively participating with the talents and abilities that God's given you? Where do you stand? Maybe there's some things you need to give back to him today. Maybe there's some things that you need to do with him in regard to business, but I'm going to say this. Now is the time to do it. If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn as Brad comes to lead us?
Number 291.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you do business with God. With what He has spoken to you today, don't let it pass you by. Deal with it right now. Whether it's right where you are, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation may be, make sure you leave here with peace in your heart that you have followed the direction of the Holy Spirit today. As you continue to seek Him, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we thank You today for the provision that You give each and every one of us, Lord, for the just the opportunity to gather as Your children, to gather as Your body. Father, each and everything belongs to You, and You simply ask us to return just a small portion of what You've blessed us with, that You might bless us on an even greater level. Lord, I pray right now that we will be found faithful to return to You the tithe and the offering, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mickey, just going to give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. As far as birthdays, we're not showing any birthdays this week, but we've got a couple of anniversaries this week. If you get a chance, wish Mark and Carol Boone a very happy anniversary. Their anniversary is tomorrow, and then my bride and I will be celebrating 31 years of marital bliss on Tuesday, which is the 12th. And then, of course, Tammy and David Bowman will be on this coming Thursday, right? I'm not going to ask you how many years. A lot of people don't like to say that. I just get myself in trouble up here all the time. But at any rate, be sure to hug their neck, tell them you love them, wish them a happy anniversary. And just a few things that we need to know as we get out of here today. Health and safety team meeting immediately after the service in the conference room. And if I get any of this wrong, y'all let me know. Choir practice, 4:45. And Bible study will be in here tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. David is planning on being here. If anything changes, Brad will lead the way on what the next step will be. But do continue to pray for David and Donna. But as far as right now, 6 o'clock p.m. is for Bible study is on. Band practice, 7:30 tonight. 7. Okay, 7 o'clock. basically right after the service. So be here. If you're 7:30, you're going to be late. Jim's going to be mad at you and me, and he will take it out on me. So be here at 7 o'clock right after the Bible study. Our bi-monthly blood drive is this coming Tuesday from 2:30 to 7 o'clock. If you can let a pint, be sure to stop on by. I'm sure they'll find some room for you. And I think Katie is actually going to be running this drive, either Katie or Betty. Katie or Betty. One of those two will get you. They'll take your blood no matter what. You talk to one of them, but that's this coming Tuesday. Next Sunday, September the 17th, there will be a finance meeting immediately after church in the treasurer's office. Again, this is next Sunday on the 17th. Building and grounds next Sunday in the Family Life Center. We'll have a meeting in the choir room at 3:30 next Sunday. And then I believe Awana starts next Sunday. Next Sunday at 5:30. So bring all the kiddies, round them up. Just don't get in trouble, but bring them on down. That's from 5:30 to 7. We do still need some volunteers. We can always use you. You can talk to Jim or Jana. There's Jimmy back there in the corner. Be sure to let them know that you'd like to help out with these youngins. And then Wednesday, don't forget, the guys always meet 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. No agenda, just a time of fellowship and food, so come on down. Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, and then a ladies' beach trip, October the 5th through the 8th. Are you full up, or you still got... filled up. If you want to be on a waiting list, you talk to Marcia. That's Marcia over there. Wave, Marcia. And those gals always have a lot of fun. I have a feeling a lot of what happens at the beach stays at the beach just based on the looks of the faces. Well, how'd your beach trip go? Great. You don't get to hear a lot of detail, but it sounds like a lot of fun. You can see Marcia about that. So is there anything I've forgotten? Like I say, I feel a little out of kilter having not been here last week. Are we caught up on everything? All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. Let me dismiss you in a word of prayer, and like I say, we'll see you as the Lord brings us together. Father, you're good to us. Thank you so much just for the opportunity to be a part of Central Baptist Church. Lord, you've placed us here for a reason. You have placed each and every person within this congregation for a reason. May we truly be about your business. I pray, Lord, today that you'll give us a great day as we make it truly the Lord's day, not just the Lord's moments at church, but Father, may we meditate upon you, on your word, and may we truly take another look at how you love the church and how we do marriage here as we go forward. And Lord, the similarities. So just give us a great day in your name. And Father, we just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.